Everett, just in case you guys have missed it, we've been having this theme all through the past couple of weeks about falling in love with Jesus. Because I think that that's what we need to get back to. First things, amen? And sometimes we have lost our first love, amen? We need to get back to the one who made all this possible. You ought not be ashamed of his name. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how great a salvation we actually have in Jesus. We came out of 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 17. Then once we, after we talked about that great salvation, we said that since we have that salvation, we ought to walk worthy of the call that we have in Christ Jesus. We went through Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. And we talked about the fact that we ought to what? We ought to get to a point where we are living for him, we're walking for him. And in that living, we learn to love. And then in that loving, we learn how to let live. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Then we realize that, and all of that, we said, so what is the goal? And what is our aim in all of this? And we said, the goal is what? It's always love. It's always love, falling in love with Jesus. And so we went to 1 Timothy 1:5. We talked about what kind of love that was. And we said that we want to be loved with a pure heart, amen, a good conscience, and a what? A sincere faith, amen? Sincere faith. And that faith should be a what? A functional faith, amen? In other words, it ought to cause you to what? To do something, amen? It's a functional thing. It's going to cause you to do something. And we want to talk about that today as far as what do we do and how do we do it. We always preface that by understanding that it is done in the person of Jesus Christ with the power of the Spirit of God, amen? And we can't actually live this Christian life apart from falling in love with Jesus, amen? We cannot live this Christian life apart from Christ and trying to abstain just from sin by trying to live a moral life is futile. Amen. It's futile. You can't do it apart from Jesus, apart from as what Jesus told Nicodemus, apart from being what? Born again. Amen. Into a new life that he's given us. One that is actually hidden in Christ, that eternal life that God has given us. So we want to talk a little bit about that today, about this functional faith. And if we understand about this functional faith, the reason why we can actually do it is because of the position that we have in Christ. Amen. The priority that we place in our life by following Christ. Why? Working towards the perfection that what he's doing in our life that we one day will receive when we glorify with him. And so where can I find that? Right there in the book of Colossians. You'll turn there. Book of Colossians, we're going to talk about this functional faith and how we ought to be consistent in the life that we live. You know, people love consistency. Amen. People want to know that you're going to be consistent in your life. And then I did a little thing last night. I just wanted to kind of open this up. It's kind of, we don't have sports being played anymore, but I thought it would be interesting to find out what are the most consistent sports teams that we actually have throughout the history. And it's not the one who had to change their name. So we're not going to talk about them because they're not one of the most consistent sports teams that we know about. But you'd be surprised. I was surprised that the three top consistent sports teams that we have throughout the North American region. Number three is the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Anybody believe that? Boston Celtics. Yeah. I thought it was the Lakers.
No.
Just the Boston Celtics, one of the most consistent teams in their history. They've been to 21 finals and they won 17 championships. That's pretty good. That's consistency.
Yes,
see,
yes.
People, that's why people can still go out and see them because they're consistent in what they do. Number two was a hockey team. So you know I didn't know anything about them. A Amen. Because I just don't watch hockey. But the Montreal Canadiens. Amen. Montreal Canadiens. They've been to 33 Stanley Cup championships. And they won 23. That's consistency. Amen. And last but not least, who do you think number one is? Who said it? The New York, it's the New York Yankees. No, we're not even on there. It's the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
The most consistent sports team is the New York Yankees in their history. They've been to 40 World Series and won 27. That's good. Y'all talking about the Nationals. The New York Yankees are the most consistent, and that's why they're still being sold out. I can go there because people like consistency. And you know what? It should be the same thing in our Christian walk. Amen. There should be some consistency in our Christian walk. And in this text of in Colossians, this is what Paul was telling the Colossians, that you can't keep vacillating back and forth. You can't be going to all these bad doctrines. That you want to be consistent in your walk. And if you understand these three things I'm going to talk about today, it'll help us with our consistency. I know it's surely helping with mine. But Colossians chapter 3, right there in the first verse, start off, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, it says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Talking about being consistent in our walk with Christ, being consistent with our walk in Christ. And I believe that one of the things that what made the Yankees and Canadians and Boston consistent in what they were doing in their sports is because they actually believed in what they were actually doing. When you look at those sports teams, they had some superstar, but they were teams of team because they were working together and they actually believed in what they were actually doing. And when you understand that, they encouraged each other, all of a sudden you can be consistent because you're always working towards the exact same goal. And as believers in Christ, I believe that this COVID-19 has made us kind of inconsistent. Why? It's because we're not able to come together like we used to be to encourage each other. And so now we're finding other avenues to do that through Zoom and through Facebook and all of that. And we need to understand, we need to continue to connect with each other. Even though we can't come together, we need to consistently reach out to each other. That's why we always talk about the birthdays. Let people know that even on your birthday, we're thinking about you. On your anniversary, we're thinking about you. Why? It's the body of Christ. The consistency is that, guess what? We're encouraging you to keep doing the right thing. And like we said a couple of weeks ago, don't get weary in well doing. Amen? It's the consistency in walk. People out there in the world are looking for Christians to be consistent in their walk of faith. Amen? And what they do and what they actually see. And I believe that the thing that will help us in our consistency is we understand where we are. Amen. We understand our position, actually, where we are. Amen. It's everybody understanding that the fact that, yeah, we are here on this earth, but positionally, we're in Christ. Amen. We are actually in Christ. And sometimes I forget that because, you know, you get so caught up and everything else is going on in the world. And I forget that despite what's going on in my life, I'm still what? I'm still in Christ. Amen. I'm still in Christ. And scriptures like this help me to remember that. It says that if then you have been raised with Christ. Amen. It says you've been raised with Christ. It says that what he's actually saying, that word if can be turned to since. Amen. Not if. See, if there's a question mark. But since we have been raised with Christ. We need to understand that there's a what we call a conditional clause. Amen. Since that has happened, then something else ought to be happening in your life. Since your position now is in Christ, that your salvation is what is secure in Christ. But why? Because you've been raised with him. Amen. So you are secure in Christ. There's no longer no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no penalty for all the sins that we had. Since all that is actually true, it's not if, it's since it's actually true, we ought to be doing something. Amen. We ought to be living like something. But you know what? That's a true statement, and we believe it. Amen. That's who we are. We've been raised with Christ. He goes on to say that verse 3, it says that we die. Amen. We're no longer living that old sinful life that we used to live anymore. We're in Christ. We died. And our life now, the life that we're now living, is what is hidden in Christ. Amen. And so in other words, when God looks at us, guess what? He doesn't even see us anymore. Amen. That's a good thing. He sees Christ. That word hidden means that we're actually wrapped. Amen. We're almost like a cocoon. Amen. It's like a burrito. Amen. You're covered. You're wrapped up. You're all up in Christ. Your life is now hidden up in Christ. In other words, people ought to know you by who you're covered by. Amen. They ought not just know you by your occupation. Amen. They ought to know you by who you are covered by who you are hidden up in. Because see, when you are hidden, all they can see is what? That which is on the what? Outside. Amen. And we got to get to a point where we understand that since we have been raised with Christ, since we've died from our earlier life, and now we're hidden in Christ, our position has changed. And when your position changes, guess what changes? Your attitude changes. Your behavior changes. All those things change. Why? Because now you begin to live within the position that God has placed you, and that is in Christ. Amen. And so when we do that, he said that since your positions change, your priority in life ought to change. Amen. And so the things you used to think about all the time, things you used to do all the time, you don't do anymore. Amen. We don't do things we used to do anymore. Matter of fact, I have no desire to actually go back. And I know we say those were the good old days. Amen. They were the good old days. They were, because you know what? Sometimes we ain't know no better. We were ignorant. Amen. We were outside of Christ. We ain't know no better. So those were the good old days. Amen. Some of y'all still remember quarter parties. Amen. Some of y'all look good. I mean, some of y'all don't know what quarter parties are, but y'all know what y'all doing in quarter parties. Come on now, let's be real. Let's be real. And in those things, at that time frame, but it felt pretty good. But see, right now in Christ, guess what? You couldn't get me anymore. Not that they have now. Amen. That's not the reason why I wouldn't go. I said, wouldn't go. Amen. I have no desire to do those things anymore. Amen. Because my position has changed. So my what? My priority has changed. And I got to be consistent in my walk. In order for me to be consistent, he said that I ought to what? That since I've been raised with Christ, I have to seek the things that are what? Above. We got to seek those things which are above. Amen. And what he's talking about there, he's talking about there's a heart issue. Amen. He said you got to turn your heart away from those things that you used to think were okay, but are not okay, and turn them towards God. It's a heart issue. It's part of the sanctification process that we're going through. Amen. Our priority now is the fact that we are no longer under sin. Sin no longer has power over us. Don't y'all know that sin has power over you? But now in your position now in Christ, it no longer has power over you. And so since it has no power over you, then you can change your priority. See, the thing that we didn't understand at the time is that before we were saved, we couldn't help but sin. Amen. Sin was our master. Sin had all the power over us. Amen. And we were always found ourselves being obedient, what? To our master. And now the same thing. Now what? Christ is now what? Our master. So now we're being obedient to Christ when he has changed our priorities. And so now we are seeking those things which are above. And the word seek implies persevering effort. Amen. It's not like something that we think is natural for us to do, because the Bible actually says that no one seeks after God. Amen. No one. Romans says no one actually seeks after God. So now that you're seeking after God, guess what? You know you've been changed. Amen. You actually know you've been changed, and because what? Naturally, we would not seek after God. The Bible said that, but now that we're seeking after God, something must have happened in our life. Amen. We've been changed. Another word for it has been, we've been regenerated. Amen. We got a new heart. Isn't that a good thing? We got a new heart. We got a new attitude. Amen. We have a new compass. We are pointing towards a different direction. We're looking above as opposed to looking down. Amen. And we have to get to a point where we understand that we are persevering. It's just a consistent thing that we have to do. Every morning we wake up, we have to do certain things to make sure we're focused on the right thing. Amen. That's why I say you gotta have some devotion. Amen. Like Earth, Wind, and Fire says, well, you gotta have some devotion. Amen. You need devotion.
Yes.
Help the children. Amen. You gotta have those things that's gonna help you to focus, to seek those. Because if I don't have that, when I get up, I'm gonna be focused on something else. Amen. And so I gotta constantly work on this thing. I gotta do like Matthew 6:33. I gotta seek Him what? First. Seek the kingdom of God first. And what? And His righteousness. Amen. I want to be righteous. I want to be like Christ. Now why? Because I'm hidden him, so I want to be like him. And so I gotta seek his righteousness. And guess what he said he'll do? He said he'll add all those other things, the things I worry about, and then I'm not focusing on him. He said, I'll give you that. He said, well, just seek me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things. And you go back and read that text, you see all the other things you're talking about. He said he'll give that to you. He said that's the least you can do. He said, look, I can do a seeming bundle of all you can ask for a thing. I can definitely take care of that. But he said, keep your priorities right. Because of your position, change your priorities. Make sure, guess what? I have preeminence. I read it earlier. That's why I should have what? Preeminence, right? In your life. Why? Because you were actually created for him. Remember I read this earlier? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things were created through him and what? For him. We were actually created for him. Amen. And now that we are in him, guess what? Our position has changed. Our priority has changed. And so now we're seeking those things which are above. And what he's actually talking about is, guess what? It should guide your behavior. Amen. Seeking those things are above. Guiding your behavior. Because what he said, look at down at verse 9. Go back to Colossians 3. Verse 9. Are you there? All right, look what it says. It says that do not lie to one another, seeing that what? You have put off, right? The old self. We're not who we used to be, amen? With the practices. See, we make this thing practical. And we have put on what? The new self. So we put on Christ. We're hitting in Christ, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the what? The Creator, after Christ. Here, there is no Greek, no Jew, no circumcised, no uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slaves, free, but Christ is all in all. What he's saying is, guess what? We're all the same. Isn't that amazing? We're all the same. He said, and put on then, right, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also should. Oh, did your Bible say should? If it does, get rid of it, because it says must forgive. Amen. It doesn't say you should. No, it says you must forgive. Why? Because you're in Christ, you are embodied with Christ, and that's what Christ would do, and so that's what we should be doing. Amen. And above all things, put on love. There it is again.
Love, which covers a multitude of sin, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Amen. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful that the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that's what you got to understand, is that so when you wake up, you're going to get into the word of God. So it can dwell in you richly. Why? That's going to help you stay focused on the things that are above. Amen. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with thanksgiving in your hearts, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We have to change our priorities, and guess what? We ought to be seeking those things which are above. Amen? Our position has changed. Our priorities have to change. And he goes on and says, when you do that, all of a sudden, your life changes. Amen? Things are above. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, a position what? Of authority. And you're actually there. That's why sin no longer has dominion over you. Why? Because positionally, you are also in Christ. At the right hand of God. And so now you're setting your things, you're setting your, what you're seeking those things above, but you're also setting your mind on the things that are above. Amen? And not on the things on the earth. So there's a contrast there. What we're trying to get you to understand is there's a lot of times we keep putting our mind on the things of this world instead of what? On the things above. In other words, he's saying that we got to change the way we think, right? And you got to change your whole mindset. Amen? Setting your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Your priority is now, even in your thinking. But see, here's the problem that I have sometimes. I don't know about you. You're like, I can't talk about you. I want to talk about me. Amen. Problem I have sometimes is sometimes I keep putting the wrong stuff in my mind. Amen. I keep looking at too much Netflix. Amen. Which is a conflict. Amen. Because it's just they got stuff on there now, you know. It's just it's appealing because we have a lot of time now, right? Yeah. We some of y'all are telling people y'all are working from home. They call that teleworking. You're telling somebody you're working, but you're not. Amen. And you got the TV on, and you got everything else on. And you just got too much time, and all of a sudden, and you might give God an hour in devotion, but you give it the world the rest of the day. And it messes with my thinking. Amen. I begin to start thinking about things that I should not want to think about. Amen. Because there's not a whole lot on TV that's going to be talking about the Lord. Help me, somebody. Be it Netflix or Disney Channel or whatever you got. You know, you gotta watch the Disney Channel and make sure your kids are watching Mickey Mouse instead of something else. I'll be somebody. Because they've lost all sense of I think purity. It's gone. And you can't say, hey, look, you're gonna be okay, because they'll get some stuff out of this if I need to be demonic. Amen. So you gotta be very careful, and it affects their what? Their thinking. Amen. And we have to understand that the mind, they used to have a slogan. Yeah, it says that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Amen. And we're wasting some time by not thinking of the things of the Lord. I wrote this down, I wrote it sideways because it was a last minute thing. Romans 8:5-6 says this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen? We got to start thinking right. And it only happens when we focus in on those things which are above. Because God even knows what I think. So I can do something and think something differently, and God actually knows what I think as opposed to what I actually did. Amen. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says this, as for you, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. Amen. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands of the thoughts. Amen. That thing blew my mind. He understood. So if I think something and do something else, I can't fool him. Amen. I can fool you. You thinking I'm doing the right thing, but God actually knows why I actually did it. And sometimes I did it for my own benefit, not for God. Amen. He actually knows. He knows the intent of the thoughts. That blew my mind. Get it? He actually knows what I'm thinking right now. You know what that means? He also knows what you're thinking right now. And some of y'all are saying, you're thinking, when is he going to finish? And God knows that. So stop thinking that. Psalms 26:2 says this, examine me, O Lord. How many of y'all can say that? Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. See that? He's shouting. He said, true. Try my mind. In my heart, you can only do that when you're right with God. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him, and I love this, in perfect peace. When your mind is what? Stayed on thee. See, when all of us get to a point where we're so concerned about everything else and we don't have any peace, guess what? Your mind is not thinking of. That he will keep you in perfect peace. That doesn't mean everything's going right in your household, on your job, or wherever you are. But you've got to remember, you're still what? Your position is still in Christ. You're secure. You're okay, amen? And your priority now is him. And you ever thought about the fact that he might be letting you go through something to make you better? Huh? You ever thought about that? God, he gives good and perfect gifts. He's not going to hurt you. Is that what Jeremiah says? Amen. And you got to get to a point where he has all these things ready for you, and you're going through something because God is trying to make you better. So even while you're going through, you can have peace because God is what? Still in control. If your mind is get your mind to a point where you trust God enough that you have prioritized him enough, you know that you're his child, and God's going to take care of you.
Yes, he
will. Amen.
Yes, he will.
God's going to take care of you.
Yes, he will.
I got about one more minute.
Thank you.
I want you to understand this, is that you have to put your mind on God. Why? In Acts 17:24, it says this. And this is the part you need to understand. This is why your mind will always be on God. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind. Look, he gives you life and breath and life. He gives you breath. He gives you health. He gives you everything. Amen. And look, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. Look, having determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. In other words, God actually knew you needed that. God knows where you live. God has assigned you to live where you're living, and you can't move. They tell you to move. He actually controls all things, and he's in control of all things. And 27 goes on to say that you should seek God. And that you should seek him. Why? Because in him we live and move and actually have our being. In other words, he is so in control of all things. Why wouldn't you think of him all the time? When you do this, You ought to be thinking about God. That you just breathed the breath that he actually gave you, that you're still what? Standing. That you're still alive. You ought to be thanking God. You ought to be thinking about God. Why? Because he's that kind of a God, and we ought to take our minds off of ourselves and off all these other things in our life and place them on God, because our priorities have to change. Why? Because our position is no longer where it used to be. It's in Christ.
Thank you.
Amen?
Thank you.
And what is all this for? He's saying, if I go back to Corinthians, Colossians, I close this thing out for you. He's actually saying, he's working things out for your good. Amen. Like God said that, it says that it's actually all this is for your good. Because we need to understand this. It said that set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died, right? Talked about that earlier, and your life is now hidden with Christ. That's why position has changed. When Christ, here it is, who is your life, he's our life, right? When he appears, since we're in him, when he appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's the final chapter for us here, right? When he comes back, he's going to come back and we're going to be with him in glory. What does that mean? Well, the last P is perfection. Not have that P there, right? That's not at all the position, right? Position from what? To priority, above, and now perfection. Why? Because that's what the glorification process is. All he actually gave us through this thing right here was the salvation process of salvation, sanctification, glorification. Amen? Sanctification is now us prioritizing the things that God wants us to prioritize. And in the end, because we did that, you will be glorified with them. Amen? Perfection. And also what? Removed from the presence of sin. Amen? No longer even have glorified, perfect state. 1 John 3:2 says that, beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet, right, been revealed what we shall be. But we know this, that when he is revealed, we shall what?
We shall see.
For we shall see him as he is. Isn't that good news? Glorification. You. It's only by the grace of God. Help me, somebody. You know you don't deserve it. But he gonna give it to you anyway. It is a done deal. The Bible tells in Romans that you're already there. Because positionally you're secure in Christ, and no man, you can't even do it, can pluck you from his. It's a done deal. We can rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. That guess what? Because he changed our position, and in that position, he helped us by giving us the mind of Christ, that we prioritize our life now to seek those things which are above, right? To set our mind on Christ. That guess what? In the end, we win. We get to be glorified with God, the living Savior. Amen. Not Mary's little baby. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and glorify you along with him. And I'm telling you now, you ought to understand one thing. No matter what you're going through right now, it does not compare what the Lord has in store for you. Just for you. And here's the thing that really blew my mind. As I must not read scripture, if I had been the only one that would believe in him, guess what? He'd do it just for you. Yeah, just for you. He wasn't looking for a crowd. Amen. He is one of the faithful few. That's why when he went out, got those 12 guys, remember? Even one of them didn't want to hang out with him. them what? Some of them chose others, and those they chose others, and guess what? Eventually it got down to us. Because through those same 11, that's how this church got birthed. Don't forget that. Oh yeah, we came out of the book of Acts. Help me somebody. I know what the cornerstones say, I know what folks say, but we came out of the book of Acts. And this is the church of Jesus Christ. And he's coming back for us. And when he comes back, you will be glorified with him. You ought to give God some praise. I'm done. Y'all don't know what I'm done. I would love to sit here and explain what the glorification is, but y'all won't give me that much time. Amen. Y'all would not give me that much time. But just remember, during the course of this week, no matter what has been changed. Amen. Which means your life has been changed. You are now hidden in Christ. You died. But yet you still live in Christ. And because of that, we ought to be consistent in our life by changing our priorities and seek those things which are above and set our minds on the things which are above and not on the things on the earth. And when we do that, and I shall be rewarded by being glorified with Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God, of Christ, of the Spirit of Christ. We thank you, God, for the plan that you have for us in salvation. Thank you for not only saving us, oh God, but for actually using us for thy glory. I pray for all these at the sound of my voice in this sanctuary, on Zoom, on Facebook, wherever else, oh God, this might go. Help us to understand, oh God, how good you are.
Yes.
And then help us to share that goodness with the dying world. Because Lord, we need to hear a word from you. Bless now, God, and know we shall be blessed. Keep, and then we shall be kept. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.